We're going to look at John chapter number 4, and I know you probably think we've looked at it enough in time past, and I guess maybe we have, but John chapter number 4, most of you know that story. It's the story of the woman at the well, and she meets up with Jesus, and you know, there's all kinds of ways you can go with that, and that we have looked at in time past, but I want you to look at something with me today, if you will, just real quickly. Let's look at something, and then I promise we'll go eat. Amen. Somebody said, amen right there, preacher. But anyway, yeah, preach on that for a little bit. Chapter number 4 in the Gospel of John, verse number 1. The Bible said, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then he cometh to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the morning. Thank you again for all the good singing and all the good fellowship, all the good things that you let us remember. And I pray now, Lord, that you just add your blessings to the rest of this service. Just help us to serve you and love you and give you praise and worship. And we love you for all that you're doing for us today. Lord, again, just be a blessing in this time and speak to our hearts. Draw us close to you. Make us more like you. Give us that desire and that want to worship and to tell somebody else about you and to be conformed to the image of your darling son. And we'll just praise you for all you do. We ask you to save the lost this morning, draw them to you by the amazing grace of God. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I'm tell you, I want to preach to you just a little bit this morning about Jesus is searching for sinners and he's looking for you too. He's searching for sinners and he's looking for you too. I just want you to see this morning the idea of this story that is really the point of it is that Jesus is looking for this lady that's lost. I mean, he's gone out and found somebody in a strange place, in an unusual way, and all that happens is kind of out of the ordinary. But can I tell you, that's what happens when the Lord saves people. Amen? It is something quite out of the ordinary and the usual. I want you to notice just a few things about this, just maybe three things with me this morning, and notice that some things I think we can see in this story. First of all, I want you to notice this, that I can see that as we look at this woman, I can see that she has the time of her appointment. She has an appointment with the Lord, and she don't even know it. Can I tell you, if you're here this morning and you got saved, you had an appointment with the Lord. But I'll tell you, most of you didn't even know it when that appointment time came up. Do you see what your Bible tells you here in verse number 3? Jesus said he left Judea after the Pharisees got talking about him and all those things going on in the land of Judea. It said he left Judea and he departed again to Galilee. And it said, look there in verse number 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. Jesus needed to go to where this woman was. He had already had a heavenly ordained appointment with this lady, and she didn't even know that the time was nearing for her appointment with Jesus. Oh, when I got saved, I had no idea that night when I pulled into Union Avenue Baptist Church on that September night, 1972. I didn't know what was going to happen, but thank God I had an appointment with the Lord. And I can tell you, hey, there was a time in your life, if you got saved, you had an appointed time with Him. Now, I want you to just see, first of all, the time of her appointment. You see, this appointment that she had. Now, she's not your typical church person. I mean, when you begin to look at this lady, you understand she's not typical of what you and I would think in our mind. Oh, well, he's going to save somebody that's a grand and glorious and rich and famous and all that kind of stuff. It's what we get in our head. I want you to notice this. Most of the time when people are dealt with in the Bible, when Jesus deals with people, first of all, I want you to notice her insignificance. She's an insignificant person in this story. I mean, most people, that's what they see. As they looked at her in her daily life, most people didn't even want to look at her. Most people that did look at her talked about her. They had a very negative attitude and a very negative outlook about this woman. They looked at her. And I want you to notice a few things that you and I, and even really the Jews might have saw, that they said. First of all, I want to tell you this. We noticed that she was a Samaritan. Do you see that? It said Jesus came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to a parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jesus is talking. Look in verse number 7. It said, there cometh a woman of Samaria. I want you to notice that throughout this whole thing, John emphasizes the fact that she is a Samaritan. The Samaritans were looked down upon by the Jews. The Jews looked down on them and they said, hey, do you know what they called them? I mean, really? They called them half-breeds. You ever heard that story before? I'm talking about in English. Amen. Over here where you and I live, you've heard that. And it was a derogatory term. And they didn't think very highly of them at all. As a matter of fact, you see there in just a few verses how that woman looks at Jesus. Jesus is trying to talk to her. She said, how is it that you have any deal? I'm a Samaritan. Hey, she said, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Isn't that amazing how that we have those prejudices, we have those things in our own life. But first of all, I want you to know, she was a Samaritan. Second of all, let me pull this out on you. She's a woman. And I want to tell you, and I think I've told you before, when the Jewish man got up in the morning, he began to pray, and he began to thank God, first of all, that he wasn't a Gentile. Now, that's what they considered the Samaritans. They were half Jewish and half Gentile, but they didn't want to have anything to do with them because of that Gentile half. But that guy would get up, the Jewish man, and say, thank God I'm not a Gentile. And the second thing he'd say is that I'm not a woman. Well, how y'all like that? Amen? I mean, look, that's a slap in the face, isn't it? But that's exactly how the Jewish people were, that women were second-rate citizens. They were on down on the totem pole. And here's this woman. She's a Samaritan. She's a woman. And thirdly of all, let me tell you this. Hey, we don't even know her name. She remains nameless in the Scriptures. I mean, she wasn't significant enough. I mean, we read about Peter and John and James and we see Paul and Silas and Barnabas. And I mean, many of the noted people, many of the people that have things happen, we know their name. But here is somebody, we don't know her name. She is an insignificant person in this story. I mean, we don't know who she is. We're not told. We're not given an idea about her name. And listen, I want you to notice this. She was there in the middle of the day drawing water, and there was nobody else with her. In that day, when the women went to draw water, and the women did that work, when the women went to draw water, the other women came with them, and they all kind of gathered together, and they had church. You know what that means? They gossiped. Somebody say amen right there. They got together and they spread out the news. But I'm going to tell you something. This woman is by herself. She's a social outcast. You know why? Well, you discover why on down a little bit in the way. Jesus said something about her having five husbands, and now she's living with some guy, and everybody, when the women get, oh, they talk about her. You see, oh, so-and-so. I mean, that's the kind of lady she was. Insignificant. She was insignificant. I mean, hey, she was a nobody. But can I tell you? Woo! That's the ones that Jesus came to specialize in, because he saved a nobody like me and a nobody like you, if you say. Amen? Aren't you glad the Lord came to save those that, hey, he came, and really he wants to save everybody. I'll tell you about somebody that can save anybody, and really he can save everybody, and his name is Jesus. Even though you may be a nobody, he wants to do something in your life. But most people just saw her as insignificant. But let me tell you this, Jesus sees her importance. Jesus sees her as somebody that's important. Can I tell you, Jesus sees you as somebody that's important this morning? Do you know why you're important to him? Because first of all, you have an eternal soul. You are a soul that needs to be saved. You ever listen to them when they talk about ships and airplanes? Do you know what they say whenever they're listing the number of persons on board? I got on an airplane and the captain came on. He's giving all of us a little greeting and telling us all the stuff he's done. And he says, we have 168 souls on board. And I'm like, there's 168 of us here, but why is he calling us souls? I'll tell you, I believe you and I ought to see the importance of people and realize that soul is important. I don't know if you watched the news here lately, but if you'll remember this explosion that just happened here, was it yesterday, day before, whatever it was, there in Tennessee, they talked about there were no souls that survived. Boy, let that sink in on you. Jesus sees the importance of this woman and her soul. She is an eternal living soul that will be somewhere throughout all the time to come. She's going to be in heaven or she's going to be in hell. Can I tell you, your neighbor's got a soul. Your wife has a soul. Your husband, your kids, your friend at work, wherever it is that you are, they are a living soul. And you and I ought to see the importance of that event. The fact that they are a living soul. Jesus saw this woman. He saw her as a soul. I want to tell you something else. Jesus saw her in her sorrow. He realized, buddy, she was beat down by this world. She was whooped by life. She was stomped and trampled and talked about and cast out and ignored and used and abused. Brother, this lady had some sorrows in her life, and she was a broken woman going through this world, and nobody seemed to care anything about her. And if they ever did pay any attention to her, all they wanted to do was use her. She'd been married 5 times, and now there's no telling how many times she's been around and lived with different guys because they just wanted to use her and run her off and leave her when they're through. That's the way this world is, friend. But Jesus saw the importance of her. He saw her soul. He saw her sorrow. And I want you to know, man, he saw that he needed to save her. That she needed salvation. Do you notice what Jesus does for her? Jesus makes no labels on her. He doesn't give any label. He puts no shame on her. He gives her no condemnation. But all he wants to do is come in there and have some kind of impact on her life. Can I tell you, that's what Jesus wants to do to you too. He wants to have an impact on your life and your eternal soul. So first of all, I just want you to see that and realize this woman's appointment. As I say, she's not the typical person that you would think of, but thank God I'm glad Jesus thought about her. Amen? Boy, hey, he thought about me and he thought about you, even in our insignificance, even in our unimportance, even in our just nothingness in this world. Thank God he's looking on me and you because he loved us and he wanted to save. So I want you to see her appointment. But second of all, I want you to notice, you see her involvement. Jesus goes to her, and he begins to draw her into a place of conversation. Now, normally, as she would say, that, well, I don't know why in the world a Jew would have anything to do with me. You see that? It says here that in verse number 9, the woman of Samaria saith unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus has asked her, he said, you give me something to drink. She said, how is it that you? We don't normally have any interaction. We don't normally have, do you notice, first of all, I'll say, do you notice her irritation? She seems to be kind of irritated that Jesus would even say anything to her. Because she had that disdain. She had had those words. She had had that stuff thrown at her before. And she's like, what you even talking to me for? Amen. Can I tell you, you try to tell somebody about Jesus, and there's some of them going to take it and say, I don't want to hear that stuff. I don't need, I've had other people. I know what they think about me. I know what you think I am. I know you think I'm lower than you, and you think you're better than me, and all that kind of stuff. Can I tell you, friend, hey, Jesus has a compassion that passes the understanding of this world, and you and I ought to catch some of it too. Amen? We ought to catch some of that. Hey, I want you to notice, this lady seems, first of all, irritated. Let me tell you this. I mean, this lady was in such a place of realization that she said, you mean you would even take a drink from me? You would drink out of the same vessel. You'd drink out of the same dipper. You'd drink out of the same water cup that maybe I'm drawing and I'm drinking. You'd drink out of that. Hey, you ever been there with that? I've been a lot of people shaking hands and, you know, meeting them. And I've had guys come in and say, oh, preacher, you don't want to shake my hand? I've been working on a car and I got grease. I said, let me tell you, I've had grease on me before. I've had dirt on me before. Amen. I've had, you know, all kinds of things. Okay, we're just like anybody else. Amen. And I'm telling you, Jesus had such a compassion. He was not worried about all of that stuff that she was concerned about. Even those things I say that kind of irritated her. There's some irritation, but I want you to see this, man. She said, look, Jesus wasn't there. He wasn't afraid of who she was. He wasn't afraid of what she was. He wasn't afraid of where she was. Do you know the Samaritans and the Jews, as I said, they differed. They differed very strongly as far as ethnically. They were different. And geographically, they were different. You remember what this woman says here in a few minutes? She said, this is where we think people ought to be. This is where we think they ought to worship. Jews say it's over there. We say it's over here. I mean, there's a split. There's a chasm. There's a wide, vast difference between some things that we think. And most of all, they were different religiously. They had that geographically different. They had that ethnically different. And they were different in this way of religion also. And she said, we're different than you. You know what? That didn't even stop Jesus. There's a lot of folks say, well, okay, you're right. Amen. Can I tell you, it don't matter if their skin is black, white, yellow, red, or whatever color it may be. You better be interested in that person's soul. Amen. You better be interested in them finding out about the great salvation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, Jesus wasn't afraid of anything she was. But you see, she seems to be irritated. But not only that, don't you know Jesus gives her an invitation? He said in verse number 10, he says to her, if thou knewest, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. She's getting an invitation to come and find out some things about Jesus. He invites her to this place where he says, I'm here and I want to do something for you. I'm ready to talk with you. I want to get involved in the things of your life. Thank God, aren't you glad Jesus got involved in some of the stuff in your life? Amen? Boy, hey, isn't that what it says over there in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 4? But God, amen. He got to button in my life and in your life. I was in my sin. I was dead. I was ugly. I was sinful. I was hateful. I was rotten. I was filled up with the devil. But thank God, but God wanted to save me. Amen. He came in with His great love. Came in with that rich mercy. He came in with all of the grace that there is, and He saved me from my sin. Amen? And boy, Jesus has given her an invitation. I'm telling you, if you only knew, I'm asking you this morning to think about this, if you only knew who it is in here that by the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, if you only knew what He wanted to do for you, if you only knew how He could change you, if you only knew what would happen if you had come and surrender your life to the Lord Jesus, if you only knew, you'd get up and run down here and get right. Amen? That's what Jesus said to her. If thou knewest, if you only knew this morning what this thing was all about. It's more than rites and rituals and regulations and rules. It is a freedom in Christ. It is salvation that gives you something that's sweet. It's salvation that gives you something that'll change your life. It's salvation that'll do more for you than anything this world can give you. Amen. That's what Jesus has got for me and for you this morning. If you only knew. Jesus has given her this invitation. If you just come, would you just come? If you only knew. Don't you know what she does? She starts her investigation. She got an invitation, but she wants to figure out what this thing's all about. And she says to him, sir, well, this well's deep. You don't have anything to draw with. How are you going to give me some living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well in verse 12, and drank there of himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus told her, as I read to you, and said unto her, whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. He said, what you got here will never satisfy what you really need. She begins an investigation, and she says, how can you do it? Isn't that exactly what Nicodemus did back in John chapter number 2? Jesus starts talking to him and says, you've got to be born again. How can a man be born again? And Jesus said, how can you be so dumb? Amen. You're supposed to be religious. You're supposed to be educated. You're supposed to know. You don't know this. He said, you must be born again. He said, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. I'm telling you the same thing this morning. Unless you get saved, you ain't going to heaven. Oh, but I'm a good guy. You can be as good as you want to be. You can help as many. You can give as much. You can be as known and noble and notable as anybody in this world. You're going to die and split hell wide open. Amen? You better get saved. You need Christ Jesus to save that precious soul that Jesus is so concerned about with this lady. But he looks at her and he gets involved in her investigation. In this investigation, her interest is stirred. I mean, you know, you see as she begins to talk, you know, she's got something going on that she's getting. And he said, if you drink this water that you've got, you're going to thirst again. He said, but if you drink the water I give you, you'll never thirst. This water will spring up on the inside of you. And it'll be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And she looked at him and she said, sir, evermore give me this water that I thirst not, and neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said, well, you go ahead and call your husband. And she said, well, I don't have a husband. He said, that's right. He said, you've had five husbands. Woo! All of a sudden, Jesus pulls back the curtains, doesn't he? Isn't it amazing? You start investigating him, and guess what? He's done investigated you. He knows everything there is to know about our sin, about the stuff we might try to cover up or the stuff that we might think we've got all taken care of by the things of this world. Can I tell you, he knows all of that. He knows what you're thinking before you think it. He knows the words and the thoughts and the intents of your heart and on the inside. Everyone, he knows every bit of that. He knows it. Wow. That stinks, doesn't it? Amen. Hey, I'm just telling you, Jesus knows all about it. Isn't it amazing that Jesus knew all this stuff about her? He knew everything. He knew her sin. He knew what she'd been into. And you know what? He still wanted to save her anyway. I'll tell you, he knew all about me. He knew all about my facade. He knew all about the show I'd put up and all. He knew everything that I'd, I'm as good as the rest of them. No, he knew I needed to be saved. And you know what? If you're here this morning, he knows you need to be saved too. You can put on the show. You can show up at church. You can smile big. You can sing with them. You can do all the doings of the business of the church. But I'm telling you, God knows what's in your heart today. Amen? He knew what was going on in this lady. She got to doing her investigating. But I want to tell you something. She was kind of disappointed in what got found out during the investigation. Amen? But I want you to notice one last thing. Look at this with me, if you will, real quickly in the end of this. You see her investigation, but don't you notice now you see her enlightenment. Her enlightenment. She gets something that happens that, that she just didn't think. Look at in verse number 25. It said, in verse number 25, Jesus has been talking to her about worship, and we go through all of that, and we've covered that before. We're not going to get into that. But he tells her in verse 24, God's a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then the woman said this. She said, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he has come, he will tell us all things. Now, let me tell you this. She has an understanding of some things in the religious world. And she says, here's what we, as the Samaritans, are expecting. Can I tell you something? I think there's people that would say, we as Americans are expecting some things, and we know what to expect. I think there's a lot of folks today that think that they know about what the Lord's going to do in the rapture. I mean, there's probably a lot of folks could talk to you about it because it's become such a common subject. Now, there's a lot of folks that don't believe it, okay? But there's some folks, they talk to you like they know everything. They're Bible scholars on it. Amen? I mean, this woman said, oh, we know. We know that when the Messiah comes, that he'll tell us everything that we've ever, that's always going, you know, what's going on. He'll tell us everything about us. He'll tell us everything about what's happening. He knows all things. She sounded almost like a Bible scholar, didn't she? But Jesus looked at her, and he kind of popped that bubble of her expectations. Her expectation was, she said, I've got my religious beliefs and convictions, and I'm going to stand on those. We know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, and when he has come, he will tell us all things. Jesus looked her right square in the eyes. And he said, that's your expectation? She said, that's what I expect. He said, let me make a proclamation to your expectation. He said, I'm him. I am he. And you know really what Jesus said in the Greek is he simply said, I am. Woo, and everybody knows what that means. That's the name that God gave to Moses out there in the wilderness when he said, when they asked me, who sent me? What am I going to tell? He said, you tell them I am. See, I am because I am the God of your father. I am the eternal one. I am the all-knowing. I am the almighty. I am the one that needs nothing. Amen. And Jesus looks at this woman and said, I am he that speaketh to thee. Woo! I that speak unto thee. I'm him. Oh, my goodness. Her bubble just got busted real big. But I'm going to tell you what it did. It caused something to happen in her life where she got saved. Amen? Now, you know, you can look at this and you and I can all try to figure it out, but she got saved somewhere in here. I don't see her kneeling down. I don't see her praying the sinner's prayer. I don't see her repeating anything. I don't see her, you know, talking to anybody about it. I just know she got saved. Something changed in her heart. And I want to tell you what it says in verse 28. Look at that. The woman then left her water pot. That thing that seemed so important, that she was so intent on, that she was so consumed with getting taken care of, filling up her water pot, she left it behind. She left her water pot. And it said what? That she went her way into the city and she saith unto men, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? I want to tell y'all I've seen somebody and I think that it is the Messiah. I think he is the Christ. I think he's the one that's come to redeem all of us. You need to come see him. Amen. I'm just telling you, she got out there, and man, she made this declaration. I mean, she made it in an excited way, didn't she? She made it. She left her water pot. I mean, but I want to tell you something. She's going to come back. But, buddy, when she left the water pot, she left with the well. Amen? She had something springing up on the inside of her that had changed her very life. And, man, nobody know what to do about it. Amen. Can I tell you, that's the way it is with me and you when we get saved. Jesus will change your life. There will be an excitement. There will be a change. There will be a transformation that happens on the inside of you. And nobody can understand it. But praise God, they don't have to understand it. Amen? Hey, when he changes you, he changes you. He changes you forever and for good. I'm telling you, here she said, come see a man. I mean, she said, come see this guy for yourself. You come check him out. You find out about, hey, he's done something for me. But can I tell you, you just need to come see him for yourselves. Amen? I don't know who you are this morning. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I'll tell you this. You need to come see a man. And let him do a miraculous work in your heart and in your life. Amen? Brother Ronnie, come on. We're going to get ready and sing a verse of this song. We're going to sing this invitation song. If you need to come and get saved and do some business with God, hey, get ready yourself to come and do that. The Lord can help you, and the Lord will help you. But I'm telling you, I want you to stand with us this morning as we get ready to sing this song. As we get ready to sing, if you've got salvation and you just need to get closer, come on. If you need to be saved, come on. If you want to just come pray for somebody else, come on. Whatever you need to do this morning. While we sing a verse of this song, while we sing this song, what are we going to sing?